Good morning, 8:38, Finger Lakes Morning News. Time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health. And that means we say good morning to Laura Turbide. Good morning, Laura Turbide.
Good morning, Ted.
How are you? I'm doing well. Now, we have a couple of notes and a little bit of news before we meet our first-time guest, and one of which we've been plugging it on the community calendar, which is the getting ready to run for the Cubby Chase.
Absolutely. Tonight, first week of Get Ready to Run, as everyone hopefully remembers from hearing on this, your show before, we have our 5K coming up July 29th, which supports the Jim Dooley Center for Early Learning, which is our child care center, formerly known as Geneva General Child Care Center. But more importantly, beyond just that one fantastic fun day of the 5K on July 29th, we want people to come and ease into it, be in shape, whether their goal is to run the 5K, run the 10K, maybe just healthily walk the 5K without injury, whatever. We want them to prep. And in doing so, we're offering, of course, the Get Ready to Run program. It is beginning tonight, and I believe we've got 8 weeks as part of our week session with specialized trainers. So it is not too late. Even if you haven't signed up yet, I'm sure we will take you on board. It's always a great group. You can find a group who's sort of at your pace. The trainers will really work with you. And hopefully then we'll have an injury-free day. As much as we have our orthopedic team here today ready to help you, if you have an injury, we hope we don't have to ever use them on that day.
So if you go to our events page at FingerLakesDailyNews.com, you'll see all the information to sign up, and you'll see you put together an impressive group of people to help do the training.
It's fantastic. They also send emails in between, so they will actually help people, guide them along, really work with them to help progress. And also there's the website, cubbychase510k.org. So go on. If you haven't registered yet, we're still obviously taking registrations for the race, but also today is the first Get Ready to Run program.
All right. And you said, was there one other thing?
Partnering with the Canandaigua YMCA. The other thing I'll share is July 22nd is one of two upcoming screening events in partnership with the Shriners. So this is Shriners Hospital. It's being offered through local Shriners who help make this possible. Actually, at Interlakes Orthopedic Surgery, which is on Preemption Road at Finger Lakes Health Commons, which is formerly Liberty Commons, is where we'll be hosting the screening on Saturday the 22nd. This is a screening for children who you may know who might have some kind of congenital concerns, whether they be of orthopedic, cleft palate, a whole range of kinds of things. We'll have some information on our website about it, but club feet, other kinds of things where maybe they've not necessarily been able to access services at this point. Right. The Shriners will be on hand. We will have staff on hand who will be helping do some screening. The Shriners then offer full, entirely covered care at their hospitals for pediatric patients, lodging for families, transportation for families, to really make sure that these children who might be identified early, who have concerns that might need sort of years of care potentially, or even just a certain surgery, for example. But again, that is July 22nd from 9 to 1 at Interlakes Orthopedic Surgery. So if you have any questions about the kinds of everything from limb concerns, muscular dystrophy, foot disorders, gait disorders, bow legs, club feet, cleft palate, as we said, burns, other kinds of things, let us know if you know of someone. So especially for school nurses, we have a lot of Mennonite community and other members who people might be listening. If you know of someone and can help them get to the screening, it's really very important.
All right. It's a terrific program. Let's meet our guest.
Yes, so excited this morning to be here with Dr. Guy Klein. Dr. Klein has recently joined us. I teased that we gave him about 3 weeks, barely, he's joined us at Interlakes Orthopedic Surgery, and he has both trauma as well as joint replacement as really specialties in terms of his orthopedic practice. We're going to talk a little bit about why Finger Lakes Health, what drew him to orthopedic surgery. We're thrilled because, as people know, as much as we have a strong, very capable orthopedic team, as you know, the best in the region, the largest orthopedic team in the region, one where it doesn't surprise me at all that we attracted another superstar, because we've had such a fantastic depth of skill and competence and genuine dedication to our community from this team. Dr. Banwar, who many people know, Dr. Nitin Banwar, is starting to, of course, we have to allow him to let that time come where he's sort of ready to slow his practice down a little bit. And as you can imagine, he'd be the kind of physician who would really want to make sure that the right person comes in to follow him and follow his patients and work with us. And so with that, he and the rest of his team, we've been able to identify at Finger Lakes Health Dr. Klein as somebody who would be a natural to step into that role, care for our community, bring his skills in terms of orthopedics, and also just his commitment to people, and I've sensed that. Just we literally met this morning, and I can tell you from my very limited interactions already, just a very sincere, genuine kind of person who you will absolutely love if you go to as a patient, having the opportunity to interact and feel how sincere and how dedicated he is to his craft.
All right, so. Dr. Klein, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Great. Thank you so much, Laura and Ted.
So we always start with just a little bit about your background, where you're from and your education and what drew you into this particular medical specialty.
Sure. Thanks. First and foremost, I'm thrilled to be here, to be a part of Fearing Lakes Health and Geneva Hospital. It's great to work with Dr. Banwar and to continue the work that he's been doing. So as far as my background, I did most of my medical education and training in Ohio. I went to school at Ohio University. Then I went did a residency in Cleveland. Our residency was particularly strong in hip and knee replacement. Even though the residency was so strong in hip and knee replacement, I wanted to go on and do additional fellowship training. So I went to a busy level one trauma center in West Virginia, where I did fellowship training in both joint replacement, including complex primary and revision or redo surgery. I was also part of the trauma team at this busy level one center that took care of all these complex fractures, both in adults and children. So after this, I wanted to come to a relatively smaller community where I could focus my practice on hip and knee replacement. And basically what drew me to focusing on hip and knee replacement as well as fracture care is it's so gratifying in orthopedics when you take someone, whether they have a worn out joint or a broken bone, and you can do a procedure and help them basically get back to a better quality of life, whether that be walking without pain again.
Well, and a big part of that, I would imagine, is working with a great rehab team, because we've had them on before and talked about the how the expectations have been revolutionized. It used to be these surgeries would lay you up for months and months, and now we're talking weeks or even days to begin to get back toward normal function.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's amazing how much has changed just in the last 30 years, where after a joint replacement, someone used to be in the hospital for, like you said, multiple weeks at a time. And often now, you know, it's routine that patients, if they're not walking the day of surgery, they're walking the next day. Of course, this is all done in a safe and supervised way. We have a lot of advancements in the last few years as far as pain control. So now patients are able to do this safely and with minimal pain. So it's not unusual for patients to be leaving the hospital, you know, 1 or 2 or at most 3 days after a big surgery like this.
I wanted to ask you about working at the trauma center. How difficult is it as a surgeon? It's one thing when you have scheduled surgery and you know that 3 days from now you're doing a knee replacement. What is it like when you don't know until very shortly before you have to scrub up what you're doing today?
Well, it sure makes your day fun and exciting. So there's definitely, but part of a trauma center is just being prepared for that. So having all the resources, so having a number of different surgeons there and the team members, and it takes a lot of energy and a lot of resources to put together a trauma surgeon to be able to deal with the unpredictable nature of that. But to tell you the truth, it's a lot of fun to be able to take care of those patients in their time of need.
Now, another thing that you do, and I'm not going to be able to say the word correctly, the specialized treatment of fractures in young people, which has a fancy name that I can't see here. It's on the
no,
paper
so,
somewhere.
So you're right. So there's all these fancy names in medicine that I wish you know, we could get to a more simpler explanation. So the treatment of fractures is basically called orthopedic trauma, but that just means treating broken bones or fractures, which are the same thing. So.
Now, is that, has that always been something that's been done surgically? What sort of surgery is involved in fracture care?
Sure.
So, setting the bone, obviously. But.
So the start of orthopedics, if you go back more than 100 years, was actually a non-operative treatment or treatment without surgery of fractures, and that's still a mainstay of treatment. So certainly we treat anything that could be treated without surgery. We try to do it as long as that's the right thing for the patient. But there are certain injuries, obviously, that now that, you know, after antibiotics were invented, you know, 60, 70 years ago, and anesthesia is safe. So now, you know, where in the past, if someone, let's say 100 years ago, had a tibia fracture, they broke their shin bone, you know, the bone, we tried to set it as best as we could, but it would often heal crooked if it healed at all. Now we have great techniques, so we get the patient up and walking with the bone lined up perfectly straight the next day.
I remember, I mean, back a generation ago, sometimes, you, like you say, it wouldn't heal right, and they'd actually have to go in and re-break it to reset it.
Yeah, definitely we've made amazing progress in that regard.
Let's talk about, Laura, go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of the things that's so helpful now in terms of some of the joint replacement work that's being done too is people can really do so much more prep. So even joint replacement, I think the preparation, as we think about how orthopedics has changed, we do so much work with people to educate them, educate their family, who's going to be going home with them, some of the work that we do in advance to even help people strengthen muscle areas around where they're going to actually have that new joint. There's so many steps. I just think from when I started, even at the health system 20 years ago, when we had something called joint camp and what that looks like compared to our current joint center of the Finger Lakes, where we've earned both hip and knee accreditations from the Joint Commission for being a center of excellence. We have a fantastic team, Carol Lincoln, a lot of therapists that we work directly with who kind of know the regimen, and they have a very specific educational guide they use. So it's really been led by our physicians who, when we talk about the changes over time between not just anesthesia and obviously all of the huge advances in terms of surgical technique and things, when I think about what we just know in terms of how much more we can prepare a patient so they can be their own advocate and be stronger and be more ready for that surgery, especially as we have people wanting to play golf longer, wanting to get out and sort of have, we have an aging population in the Finger Lakes, and we know these folks are living with arthritis, maybe limiting their activities, and they don't have to. And I just find that is a very different time than, for example, even when my grandparents grew up, in terms of how much longer they would survive feeling uncomfortable and kind of putting up with difficulty getting out of that chair versus what we say now. And when I see patients, when I round in the joint center and I see them ready to go home, it's incredible.
Well, let's go through that process. Let's start with the first question. When do we know it's time for a joint replacement? When do we know that, okay, whatever I'm doing now isn't working, I need a replacement? How do you make that decision with a patient?
Sure, that's a good question. So the truth is, while we use x-rays to identify when the joint is completely worn out, it's a very personal decision, and we don't treat x-rays, we treat patients. So there's certainly patients out there who have horrible looking knees and hips that are completely worn out on x-rays, but they're feeling fine. So we definitely don't push anybody towards surgery who's doing fine. I think in my mind, the patient who's having pain, that's getting in the way of the things they enjoy doing in life, their daily activities, that's someone that you may consider, you know, a surgical procedure. But then you have to consider, you know, the overall health of that patient, and if the risks of the surgery are, you have to weigh those against the benefits. So there's certainly some people who their health isn't the best, and you have to weigh everything carefully.
Do you try to get a sense of their commitment to rehab? Because obviously that's a big part of it. You've got to do the procedure afterwards, or it's not going to be as effective as if they don't.
Sure. So rehab, to be completely honest, is more important after a knee replacement than after a hip replacement. After a knee replacement, we'll get the joint in surgery so that it bends completely. It's got great range of motion, but just with the body's normal healing process, the joint will stiffen up unless the patient works hard at getting the range of motion back in the first 6 weeks after surgery. After a hip replacement, the rehab is not necessarily as important.
Now, Laura was talking about how things have changed in terms of preparing for the procedure. What sort of preparation, what do I do as a patient if I know, okay, my replacement is scheduled, whatever it is, three,
sure,
4 weeks out? What do I do leading up to that time?
No, that's a good question. So first and foremost, I want to highlight just what Laura has said, that there's already a great system in place at FLH and at Geneva Hospital. Karen and Dr. Banwar have done, from what I understand, the brunt of that work, but there's a beautiful joint center. If you haven't been there, it's as beautiful as any, you know, joint center I've seen before. They've got dedicated nurses that just focus and are experts on taking care of patients after joint replacement. So what the research has shown back is what's important is if the patient knows what to expect. So there's education that all the patients go through beforehand, so they know how their pain is going to be controlled. They know when they're going to work with therapy. They've got things set up at home so that they're ready to go through the process. So I think just having an understanding of the process is very important.
All right, I have to jump in here because we're almost out of time for this visit. Call the office at 315-789-0993 or 315-462-3501 to set up an appointment. Dr. Klein, thanks. We appreciate it, and welcome aboard the team.
Thank you so much.
And Laura, thank you as always.
Thanks, Ted. Have a great week.
And don't forget, tonight is the first Cubby Chase training session, so go to our events page at FingerLakesDailyNews.com to find out all about it. It's 8:53 now on the Finger Lakes Morning News.